This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Tuesday, the 6th of July. My name is Audrey Raj, and joining me from deepest, darkest Bangsa is Richard Bradbury.
Hello, good afternoon, Audrey. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Rich?
Very well, thank you very much. Deepest, darkest Bangsar, huh?
Yes, I'm just stealing your term, you know. It was first deepest, darkest Wisma BU 8, and then now we're in Tamantun, and yeah.
Yeah, deepest, darkest Banda Utama, I think it was, yes.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. On the show today, we are going to be discussing aid for businesses under GKP 4.0, as well as the Bandera Putih initiative going digital. That's quite cool. Also on the show today, some music from Aretha Franklin, Led Zepp, we've got The Killers, and if we have a bit of time, we'll even squeeze in some Van Halen for you, Rich. What about that?
Fantastic. I might jump.
Exactly. Hey, let the cat out of the bag. Okay, fine. But, you know, we're going to kick off the show today with a story about the nail industry and how they're no longer hard as nails. Now, over the last week or so, following the announcement of the National Recovery Plan and the recent EMCO in the Klang Valley, we've highlighted industries and businesses making their arguments about being allowed to open again, right? Now we know phase one of the National Recovery Plan is quite strict, which is why industry have called for the government to immediately move on to phase two of the plan to prevent permanent or irreversible damage to the business to their businesses and, of course, the economy. But what about those non-essential businesses that will not open under phase two, but will have to wait until maybe phase three or phase four to be reopened? Now, according to the plan, phase four, in which most restrictions are lifted and all economic sectors are allowed to open, is only expected to happen in November or December this year. And for some businesses, year end is just too long a wait,
yeah.
Right? Now, some of the businesses that will have to wait for phase four to operate include spas, pedicure and manicure providers, as well as pubs and nightclubs. Now, all other businesses should be back in action by phase three, except the ones we just mentioned, as they are considered high risk. Now, this has led Serene Eng, co-founder of the Malaysian Association of Nail Industry, or MANI for short, and founder of Posh Nail Spa, to write an open letter to the Star newspaper expressing concerns about the industry's survival. And this is what she said in her letter. Similar to other service industries, nail salon is an industry that takes care of people's outlook and well-being. For example, hair salons cut and treat hair, beauty salons provide skincare solutions, nail salons cut and treat nails. In a time where personal grooming and first impressions are much talked about, it is essential for most people to visit a hair salon to have their hair cut on their own. Same goes for nail services. Manny also explained that they cater to many groups of clients, like pregnant women, those with nail issues caused by sports activities, geriatric nail issues that can impair circulation or nail alterations or nail abnormalities. You've also got diabetic patients that need special care to avoid risk of infection, and other foot and nail related issues like fungal nails, weak and broken nails, corn and callus, athlete's foot, things like that. Now, most of the above issues require immediate intervention to prevent nail conditions from worsening that might eventually cause other problems in the body, because you can get infected and that can cause other issues, right? Now, Manny insists that they are not just beautifying nails for styling purposes. They say their job requires skills and knowledge on how to clean, treat and maintain the nails in good health, and they feel that this service is essential. Now, Manny adds that based on data and statistics, the nail industry has not contributed to any clusters in Malaysia up to date. At nail salons, they serve not more than 5 customers per manicurist per day. And for pedicure services, they are literally 1 foot away from their customers, right? And while for manicure services, they are shielded by a divider on the manicure table. So there is no touching of face or any contact with customers that requires the face mask to be removed as well. Therefore, they feel it is inappropriate to classify the nail industry under the high-risk industry. Manny also goes on to say that they have only operated for 2 months since the beginning of this year. We are in July, mind you. Many nail salons and suppliers have either shut down or downsized since the first MCO in March 2020. Now, with all the fixed costs of rental, salaries and other expenses piling up as well, they foresee many more salons forced to close down even before November. And there are more than 2,000 nail salons nationwide, apparently. And if the whole industry perishes, there will be about 10,000 people out of work. Now, as a final point, Manny also highlighted how the nail industry is a skilled profession and is mainly female-dominated, especially single moms and young women working to earn a living to sustain themselves and their families. And this is another reason why they are calling for the government to engage with them and understand their industry better before classifying them to only reopen in phase four. In addition to, they said that if additional SOPs are required, they would greatly comply, but just don't put a blanket ban on them because they are part of Malaysia too. Now, listening to this letter, Rich, you know, I'm all of a sudden like, oh yeah, but you know, you can see why they feel like they are an essential service as well, right? And it feels like it might be unfair to clump them under the high risk sector.
When I first saw this story, and I did have my doubts about whether or not I felt as though they were an essential service, you know, I mean, I'll be honest. But the more I read about it and the more I kind of look at the little bits that you mentioned in there about the stuff for people who have diabetes and can't cut their own nails and one thing or another, it takes me back to looking at my mother's nails as well, actually. Mm. She has extremely long fingernails and she's not allowed to have them cut by the carers that are looking after her due to, you know, how the laws are over in the UK. Mm. So she would have to go to a specialist nail salon to have her nails cut. And of course, that is something that would impact her health if she didn't have it done. But on the flip side, I believe hearing testing centers as well are also not under the list of essential services, which is something that I feel is something that needs to be addressed too.
Yeah.
And it must be very difficult for the people in power to decide what they feel is essential and non-essential. And it's very difficult to kind of get that right balancing act, because there are elements of this nail salon business that are definitely essential. Mm. And yet the perception that we have of nail salons is that they are non-essential and they are a beautifying product. Yeah. I think it takes something like this letter to educate people a little bit, because like I said, I was a little bit skeptical when I first read it.
Yeah. But you know, what I think they are really stressing out for is, I don't think they even want to reopen immediately, but they're just asking for the government to engage in a discussion with them. But we'll know for sure when we come back after a break. We will actually have Serene Eng, co-founder of the Malaysian Association of Nail Industry, on the line with us. And we'll get her to give us exactly what she hopes the government will do following this letter. That and more coming up on Enterprise BizBytes. Remember, if at any point you wanted to chime in on the conversation, you can reach us on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio is our handle. You can also text us via WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. We'll be right back after Aretha Franklin with Think. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Richard Bradbury and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are discussing non-essential businesses please to reopen. And in just a little bit, we'll even get onto a story about GKP 4.0 as well as the white flag movement that's going digital. But just before the break, we were actually talking about how the Malaysian Nails sorry, I'm going to try and look for the name right now, the accurate name, the Malaysian Association of Nail Industry, also known as MANI. I'm so used to calling them MANI now. And how they've insisted that, you know, their high-risk classification is inaccurate, and adding how most nail salons and suppliers may not survive the wait for Phase 4 to reopen. So they're actually actively calling for the government to engage with them and maybe possibly rediscuss that classification as a non-essential business.
Now, right, and we... Sorry, carry on, Odds, please.
No, please, Rich.
We did actually manage to get hold of Serene Ng. She's the co-founder of the Malaysian Association of the Nail Industry, MANI, as you mentioned, Odds. Mm. Also the founder of Posh Nail Spa. And she's the author of the letter to the Star that we just covered just a few moments ago. Serene, just a few questions for you. What has the impact of the MCO been like on the nail industry as a whole?
Since the first MCO, our services are considered non-essential. And nail salons have always been the first to close and last to open. I would say we have endured the longest period of lockdown compared to many other industries. And this year, we have missed our peak season of Chinese New Year, as well as Christmas last December. But when we reopened in March, customers started coming back. Sales was picking up and we started to see hope. But then every time when we are about to recover, we are hit by another lockdown. It has been really like a roller coaster ride.
And what category has the nail industry actually been placed under?
Most people would think that the nail industry is supposed to place together under beauty services, similar to facial and hair services. However, in the recent press release, the nail industry was unexpectedly classified as a high-risk industry together with pubs and nightclubs. How does this even make any sense? It really makes me question the people in authority. Do they even know what manicure and pedicure is all about? According to the press release, we can only reopen in Phase 4. We cannot even operate in Phase 3. And looking at the current situation and daily new cases, Phase 4 might be well beyond November. So when do we reopen? No one can give us an answer.
So who do you think it affects the most then if the MCO is not lifted, and how many will be out of work?
7 months have passed, and did you know that the nail salons have only been operated for a maximum of 2 months this year? That was between mid of March to mid of May. All nail salons are affected. Nail salon owners are badly affected. The fixed costs such as rent, salaries, loans are piling up every month. And our profession is skilled job, which means we cannot work from home. We are paid for the services that we perform and the work of our hands. So when we are not working, we basically earn nothing. And right now, there's an estimated of over 2,000 nail salons across Malaysia. Assuming 5 manicurists in every salon, that is more than 10,000 people in the industry that might be out of work. So if we are only allowed to operate by earliest by November, that would mean almost a whole year not operational. And I'm sure many people have depleted all their savings. And even before we are allowed to reopen, maybe many more salons would be forced to downsize or even shut down.
And can you tell me a little bit about the SOPs that you actually have in place?
Actually, even before the pandemic, nail salons have been practicing all the compulsory sanitizing, wearing face masks, gloves, disinfecting, and sterilizing process before and after every client. All this we have been doing for the longest time. That's why it came to us as a shock to be classified under the high-risk industry. And after the pandemic, we also follow all the standard government SOP to check in my Sejahtera, temperature scanning, wearing face masks on both manicurists and customers, face shield and the disposable aprons. And at Posh, my salon Posh, we even invested in disinfecting machine and UVC lighting to sterilize the entire shop every night. All these are additional costs, what? We are doing our parts to make sure we are doing what needs to be done. But seems like it's still not enough. They still shut us down. And having said that, based on actual statistics, the nail industry has never contributed to any clusters up to date.
Serene, it might be a tough question, but how long do you think nail salons can survive if nothing changes?
You know, many nail salons is already one foot in the grave. And it's not just nail salons. Nail products, nail suppliers, and the entire chain is suffering. We understand sacrifices needs to be made. And we are also more than willing to go into a total lockdown to curb the spread. But we feel disappointed because as our industry goes into lockdown, some other industries are allowed to operate. And there are new clusters and new cases by the thousands every day. So how? And today is already a new month. It's also a day where we start to worry how we're going to be paying our next rent and salaries. And if you ask me, how long will we survive? Honestly, this is already the final straw. Many from the industry has already given up and trying out something else. So my next worry is, by the time we are allowed to reopen, do I still have any manicurists coming back to work? So with all these issues, a few of us nail salon owners decided to come together and we co-founded the Malaysian Association of Nail Industry. We want to unite everyone in our industry. We want to support each other and make our voices heard.
Right. Thank you for that, Serene. That was Serene Eng, co-founder of the Malaysian Association of Nail Industry, or MANI, also the founder of Posh Nail Spa. And that letter, of course, the author of that letter to the Star that we covered before the break. Mm. Wow, you could really hear the frustration in her voice there.
And desperation, I think, at this stage as well. You've got a business that can only operate for 2 months of the year, 10,000 staff roughly nationwide. That's heartbreaking to hear.
Yeah, and you know, just the prospect of only being allowed to reopen at the end of the year. And we don't know if phase one of the National Recovery Plan is going to extend and push phase two and phase three further as well, even though the vaccination seems to be picking up speed and, you know, things seem to be moving smoothly. But we're just not sure if we will reach phase four by the end of the year. And what happens then? You're only allowed to reopen next year? That's just, wow, unimaginable. But yeah, if you'd like to tell us what you think about what we've just discussed about how non-essential businesses are pleading to reopen, maybe as part of phase one or even the next phase under phase two, get in touch with us and send us your thoughts. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. We're going to take a much needed break. Boy, that was heavy. but when we come back, we'll get into aid for businesses under GKP 4.0. And we'll try to end the show on a positive note with a story about how the Bandera Puteh initiative is going digital.
Indeed.
All that and more coming up after The Killers with Somebody Told Me. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.